why the stop?
That kind of
No, I was just, I don't know, I'm not sure.
Oh, you wanted me to say, okay. Let's start again, let's start again.
Hello and welcome to episode 33 of Up in Inglés con Reza y Craig. If you are a new listener, welcome to the podcast. Si estás escuchando por la primera vez, en este podcast intentamos mejorar tu inglés y
mi
español y mejorar tu inglés y subirlo al siguiente nivel. My name's Craig and here's my good friend and colleague Reza next to me.
Hello, Craig. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Before we begin, one or two announcements. We've got lots of feedback this episode. Muchos mensajes que habías mandado a nosotros. Y quería decir que por verano, que no hemos grabado desde antes de verano, y grabamos estos podcasts en lotes. Es decir, que grabamos Reza viene a mi piso, grabamos tres o dos podcasts, comemos, entonces voy saltándolos poco a poco. Cada dos semanas salto un público, un episodio. Y digo eso porque a veces no contestamos tus mensajes y tus preguntas inmediatamente. Entonces a lo mejor vas a escuchar una respuesta un mes después que habías mandado. Y eso esa es la razón. Y vamos a intentar hacerlo más a menudo, para que no haya este hueco de verano que falta episodios. Vamos a intentar soltar uno cada dos semanas, por ejemplo. Anyway, let's move on with the feedback. First from Maite, who says, "Hi boys, I'm a new listener of your podcast, and I'd like to give you thanks for this fantastic conversations."
You're welcome, Maite.
Ah, listen carefully, Reza. She said, "For this fantastic conversations." Can you spot a mistake there?
For these conversations.
Yeah? Correct. Yes, yeah, she has these. This, which is used for singular. Plural. This yeah. Conversation or these conversations.
That's a common mistake, isn't it?
It is.
I think it's a mixture of vocabulary and also pronunciation.
Mm-hmm.
Both. People think, Spanish speakers often think this and these sounds pretty much the same. But no, it makes all the difference, doesn't it?
That's right. Mighty continues, "Learn English language is very important for me."
Aha.
Should be a gerund.
Learning.
Learning. The gerund is the subject of the sentence.
Right.
So learning English or learning the English language is very important for me. And you make it easier and funnier than other methods. Well, thank you, Mighty.
Thank you.
"I'm from Asturias."
Oh, nice.
Then I have a question. "Have you tasted Asturian desserts? If not, I will think about a solution." Do you think Mate is going to bring us a dessert from Asturias?
Oh, I would love that.
Isn't it arroz con leche? Arroz con leche?
I'd say that's typical up there.
That's Asturias, isn't it?
And natillas, really good, probably as well.
Natillas
is custard, because there are plenty of cows up in Asturias.
That's right. And the milk and the cream and the cheese is lovely up there.
I love Asturian cider. Mm-hmm. La sidra asturiana. It's one of my favorite drinks.
Mm-hmm.
I actually prefer Asturian cider to English cider.
Really?
Yes.
That's a big compliment. So Mate says, "Bye and greetings for your podcast." Well, thank you, Mate. Next, from Bolivia, Franz.
Ooh.
"Hello, teachers. I'm Franz from Bolivia. I'm so glad to hear you. I would only like saying..."
Aha. I would only like to say, you mean, Franz. I would only like to say.
Gerund after like. I would only like to say.
No, infinitive.
Oh, what did I say? Well, actually, it's infinitive after would like, because that's confusing for Spanish speakers as well. Because after I like,
that's gerund.
You can say gerund or you can say infinitive.
True. Yeah.
But after I would like or I'd like, it's always infinitive. So I would only like to say that you are the best teachers I have had.
Oh,
am I right? Well, we don't know, but thank you very much. That's a lovely compliment.
Big compliment. Thank you.
Analia says, "Excellent. Gracias." Thank you, Analia. Alberto says, Dear Craig and Reza, I'm writing to you just because I have realized that in podcast 28 and 29, there is no option to download them. I have to spend a lot of time driving in my car, and it's very useful for me to be able to download the podcasts, record them onto a CD, and listen to them in the stereo of my car. Now, a couple of people, three or four people, have written to me with the same problem, and what we're going to do is we're going to change the software on the website, the WordPress software, so that that option will be available. I don't know why it isn't now, but I'm going to, in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to change the software so that you will be able to directly download the MP3 file from the website, inglespodcast.com, and you'll be able to do with it what you want. You can put it on an MP3 player. Puedes ponerlo en un CD, grabarlo, lo que queráis. So I'm going to do that, hopefully, within the next week or two. So thank you for that comment, Alberto. Alberto says, you are really fantastic, and the trip I have to do every day seems to be shorter listening to you. So I would like to know if there is any other way to download your last two podcasts, podcast 28 and 29. Thanks in advance. I hope you can help me. Well, apart from the website at inglespodcast.com, you can obviously download our podcast on iTunes. So you need to subscribe to La Mansión del Inglés. Just search iTunes for La Mansión del Inglés, and you can download the podcast onto your mobile phone or onto your computer. You can also use, if you have an Android phone, you can use the Stitcher app, Stitcher, and you can do the same with Stitcher that you do with iTunes. So you search for the podcast and you download it to your phone. And I will put these addresses, these links, in the show notes. So thanks, Alberto. Next comment, Fran, congratulations. Very good work. Un curso realmente bueno, perfecto en ritmo y contenido.
Oh, thank you very much.
Habías logrado conseguir el tempo perfecto para que se entiende y a la vez resulte exigente, porque si no, claro, no se aprende.
I'm really glad you say that, because that's exactly what we try to do. We don't speak too slowly. We think there's no point in that. Mm. But we try to avoid speaking too quickly. We try to speak at a moderate speed and choose our words and content carefully so that it's challenging but not too difficult, but never too easy. We do think about it. So I'm really glad you appreciate it. Thanks very much.
But we are teachers, so I think we probably speak more clearly than most other native speakers, don't you think? Because we do adapt our language a little, but not too much. I mean, we speak quite normally. This is normal, I think. Elvia says, gracias, los ejemplos de todo ilustrativos. Thank you, Elvia. Alejandro says, good podcast. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And he also says, what can I say? I'm sure with this podcast, I'm not sure, maybe you can help me with this. What I'm not sure what Alejandro is trying to say here. I'm sure with this podcast. ¿Estoy seguro con este podcast?
No, I'm not sure. I think what he's trying to say in English would be, I'm confident in these podcasts.
I feel confident,
Yeah, he trusts them. You can depend on them. They're reliable. Reliable, that's de fiar.
De fiar, fiable,
De confianza, da confianza.
And then he says, thanks of to connect with people to know more.
Ooh, sorry, can you say that again?
I will. Thanks of to connect with people to know more.
Ooh, there are a few mistakes there.
Thanks for connecting.
Prepositions need to be corrected.
Yeah, thanks for connecting perhaps with other people to know more.
Yeah.
To get to know more.
Yeah. And you can hear in some of the feedback that quite a lot of you have similar problems. It's nice to know you're not the only one with a particular problem.
And the most important thing, you're trying, you're writing, you're using English, which is fantastic. We love receiving these comments so that we can help you improve your English. So please keep writing. And the corrections to all of these comments will be in the show notes at inglespodcast.com. So let's continue with Alejandro. He says, I will change my vocabulary and pronunciation later to going on.
Later to going on.
I will change my vocabulary and pronunciation later. Maybe I will improve with time. I will improve later.
Or gradually, perhaps he
means. Gradually to going on, gradually.
Bit by bit.
Bit by bit. Yeah. Trozo a trozo, se dice?
No. No, poco a poco.
Poco a poco.
Poco a poco.
Yeah. Bit
gradually,
by bit.
Paulatinamente.
Mm-hmm. I will change my vocabulary bit by bit and my pronunciation. Yeah. So thanks, Alejandro. Alicia, it's great to listen to you.
Oh, that's a classic mistake, isn't it? Listen to you. When you say listen to something, you must add the preposition to.
It's Alicia. Great to listen to you. And I'm learning a lot. Thanks. Thanks, Alicia.
Thank you.
Alex, I like this and enjoy more English language every day. That's okay.
Thanks.
Alicia, hi. This post has been very interesting. Your jokes are funny.
Is that the same Alicia as before or another Alicia?
No, this is another Alicia.
Two Alicias. Okay.
It's difficult for me to understand how sound difference ankle and uncle. Do you remember the episode with ankle and uncle?
Yes.
But she should... It would be better for her to say, it's difficult for me to understand how ankle and uncle sound different. So you'd want to put that at the end, change the order. So not how sounds different, ankle and uncle, but how ankle and uncle sound different. And there's no S on different. It's singular.
Because it's an adjective.
Because it's an adjective. Well, we said it, we'll say it. She does ask us to review, to revise the pronunciation. She says, I know the writing, but I listen the same. And she means I hear the same. Why? Could you teach me it again? So, yeah, just quickly again, you can go back to, well, I'll put the episode number in the show notes so that you can go back and listen again. But basically, ankle, tobillo, is the same sound as in hat and cat and sat. And it's difficult for Spanish speakers because it doesn't exist in Spanish. I think in Valencia and in Catalan you have the a sound, but not in Castellano. So it's a cat, a ankle. And uncle, tío, is a as in up and
bus.
And
uncle, bus, fuss,
cut, ah. So the difference is ah and ah. With ah, your mouth is more open, ah, and the tongue is further back. La lengua es un poquito más atrás y la boca un poco más abierta, ah. And you have to practice ah, cat, sat, hat, ankle. Go back and listen to the episode. Keep practicing, Alicia, and I'm sure you'll get the sound eventually. The difference between the words when you hear them is usually very clear by context. Mm-hmm. If somebody says, my uncle is coming for dinner, no va a venir tu tobillo, que va a venir tu tío.
Yeah.
If you say, my ankle hurts, es que no te duele tu tío, te duele tu tobillo. So the context usually makes the word clear. But it's a good exercise for you to practice these two different vowel sounds, a and a, so that when you speak, you'll be clearer to the listener.
And Alicia, just so you know, the two vowel sounds you've chosen are possibly the most difficult vowel sounds in English to distinguish. They're very, very, very difficult. Many learners have problems with them. You are not alone. You are not alone with this problem.
I agree. Moving on to possibly one of our favorite fans, Marian. Hi, Marian. Marian has two or three messages for us that she left over the summer. Marian says, first of all, hi, very happy for listening to you again. Very happy.
Happy to listen to you.
To listen to you.
You say happy or an adjective, happy, sad, etc. plus infinitive, right?
Or gerund, you can say very happy listening to you.
Yeah, as well.
Thank you for this feedback. I really feel you very close to me when you pronounce my name, Marianne. As if it were a known person for you. Well, you are, Marianne, because you leave us lovely comments. So, of course, we know you. We feel like we know you. In a different post, Marianne says, by the way, leopards have manchas and zebras have rayas. Keep in touch.
Okay. Manchas, spots, rayas, stripes.
Yeah. Another post. Thank you again for your interesting comments. It's cool to listen to people from Mexico. I've been in Elche once and I could... visited the museum.
Could visited.
Modal verb. What do you think?
I was able to visit.
Yes, I was able to visit. And if you want to use could, it's always the base form of the verb. So the infinitive of the verb without to. So you can say could visit, but never could visited. So I was able to visit or I could visit the museum with the original Dama de Elche that had been moved from Madrid Museum. It was exhibited in a glass urn. Urn is...
Could be an urn, couldn't it?
Glass.
An urn is just a container, isn't it?
A container.
Yeah. It's not usually made of glass, though, but I guess in special circumstances it could be.
Yeah.
An urn can be for keeping the ashes of a dead person.
That's right.
When someone dies, and if they're cremated, that means burnt, then the ashes of that dead person are put in an urn.
Mm-hmm.
They're not usually glass, but I guess they could be.
Yeah, why not? I liked El Huerto del Cura, and I was fascinated by the palm trees. Cheerio, Marianne. Paco Viudes says, hola, os quería felicitar por vuestro blog y vuestros podcasts. Son muy útiles para mis viajes entre Murcia y Sevilla, donde trabajo. Solamente un día en el blog deberéis de incorporar un widget. See, if you use WordPress, you know what a widget is. Un widget de suscripción al blog por email y RSS. Yes, Paco. Y esa es una cosa que voy a hacer cuando hago los cambios en las próximas 2 semanas y voy a hacer mejor la página web. Entonces vamos a hacerlo para que podáis subscribe, para podáis recibir los podcasts cuando los saltamos. ¿Qué más dice? Para que, como que es mi caso, pueda recibir vuestros posts en mi email sin necesidad de acudir a vuestro blog. Sí. Es muy fácil la pantalla que tenéis. Y luego Paco sigue con comentarios técnicos. Thank you very much, Paco, for that piece of advice, and I will be doing that very soon. Esperanza Rey says, hi, Reza and Craig. I've been having a very good time listening to your podcast. It was my first time, and I found it fun and profitable.
Oh, I'm very glad to hear that.
Now that I know you, I'll listen to your fabulous podcast, Always I Can.
Ah.
Whenever?
Whenever I Can.
Whenever I Can is better. Whenever I Can.
It's a tricky word for Spanish speakers
Porque
to remember.
Porque they say siempre cuando puedo. Yes,
yeah.
Sí.
Siempre que pueda.
Que pueda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, isn't it in Spanish?
Siempre que pueda.
With this pueda subjunctive. But in English, you say whenever. You take the word when, cuando, but you add the suffix at the end, ever. Whenever I can. And it's not only for the question word when. You can say whoever, whichever,
whatever.
However, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
For example, whatever you can. Lo que puedas.
Mm-hmm.
What else could we say? Whichever you want. El que quieras.
What do you want for lunch today? Because we're cooking. What do you want for lunch?
Whatever you've got.
Lo que tengas. No, whatever you fancy.
Oh, thank you.
whatever you fancy. As long as it's fish. Carlos says, very good. It's great, this page. Thanks for your help. I hope improve my English.
I hope to improve.
Yeah, gerund infinitive. Go back and listen to our gerund infinitive lesson. I hope to improve my English every day. Do you agree that verbs which speak about the future generally have infinitives?
I know what you mean, Craig.
I think we spoke about this.
Yeah, we did. And I said exactly the same then, I think. I know what you mean, but I think that's simplifying a little bit. Maybe it's good for the learners. But I think it's not future time, but hope plus infinitive. It hasn't happened.
It hasn't happened. So
yeah, it's going to happen later. Yeah. But not necessarily in the future, because it could be about the past. For example, last year, that's the past, I hoped to learn more Spanish, mm-hmm. but I didn't. Mm-hmm. I hoped to learn. Now, that's infinitive, but I'm talking about the past. I'm talking about last year. So
yeah.
An infinitive can be for the past. It just means that you're talking about an action happening after. So after the verb hope, I hoped later to learn. So it doesn't necessarily have to be the future, but I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
With intend, it will be the same. Last year, I intended to study more, mm-hmm. but I didn't.
Right.
So it's not future, it's a past intention that didn't happen.
Yeah. I think the best way to explain this was like, remember to close the door when you leave.
That's future.
Yeah,
future.
I'm asking you to do this later. But if I say to you, did you remember to turn off the gas? I'm asking you about an action which has happened before.
And I'd say, no, I forgot to do it.
Right. But it could be said in the present, the future, or the past. I could say to you, yesterday, did you remember to turn off the gas? But I'm talking about the past. So I don't strictly agree that it has to be about the future. For me, the way I would explain it is, a verb plus an infinitive is very often for the infinitive is an action which is going to happen later. It may be in the future, but it may be in the past. Whereas a verb plus an ing is the ing verb happened before the other verb, if you know what I mean.
I know what you mean. I hope they do.
It's hard to explain.
Similar verbs that behave like this, plan to, intend to, hope to.
Yeah.
Can you think of any others?
Wish.
Wish to. Yeah. Yeah. So that comment from Carlos Carrasco. Thank you, Carlos. One more. Pilar, hola. Hace mucho que no practico el inglés y me cuesta mucho. He descubierto vuestra página y he empezado desde el capítulo primero. Me parece genial lo que hacéis. Thank you, Pilar. Os escuchamos mi marido y yo y nos encanta. Sigue así. Thank you very much. That is the feedback, some of the feedback from the summer. More next episode. Over to you, Reza, with this episode's grammar, and I think you're going to speak a little about the imperative.
That's right.
Go.
You know your imperative, don't you, Craig?
No, stop. Well, go.
So, Craig's used an imperative. Don't worry, when you hear the word imperative, you might think, oh no, here comes a lot of grammar and complications. Well, yes, if you were a foreigner, a giri, a gringo learning Spanish, oh yeah, your life's about to become very complicated with the Spanish grammar of imperatives. English grammar of imperatives is very, very easy.
It is, isn't it?
Extremely easy. Literally, you can learn it in about a minute, possibly less. Here's an imperative. Eat.
Drink.
Be merry.
For tomorrow we may die.
Well, the last bit's not imperative. Yeah, isn't that's it, a famous quotation from Shakespeare.
Yeah, it's Shakespeare.
Eat, drink, and be merry. They're the three imperatives. Here's another one. Don't eat that.
That's negative.
That's it. There's all the grammar. In other words, if you wish to make a positive imperative, take the verb without infinitive to. Just use the base form. Eat, sleep, drink, even be. The verb to be is no exception.
Be merry. Be happy.
Even the verb have. Have a heart, friend. Means feel sorry for me. There are no exceptions. Take away the two, and that's the positive imperative. Now, the negative imperative is take away the two and add do not or don't. For example, don't walk on the grass. they said to me in the park.
Don't be an idiot.
Yeah. Don't be sad.
Don't be silly.
Don't, or it could be do not, the long form. Mm. Do not say that. I told you not to.
And in spoken English, I think you would not use the contraction. You would use the full form for more emphasis, for more power.
Yes.
So it's stronger, isn't it? You say, do not do that is much stronger than don't do that.
Yeah. It's very often the type of thing you hear angry parents saying to children.
Mm-hmm.
If they've told a child not to do something several times.
Do not throw your food.
But they do it again. They say, do not throw your food. I've told you many times. So they're stressing the not.
Do not leave your clothes on the floor.
They could say don't. But if they say do not, it's stronger.
Yeah.
You can tell they're getting angry.
Más fuerza.
Yeah. That, Craig, is the imperative.
Well, that was very quick and sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Nice one. Moving on to the vocabulary section in this episode. And this summer, Reza, as you know, I went on a lovely trip.
Oh, yes. I was so jealous. Listeners, Craig was in Australia.
Yeah.
Lucky guy.
But on the way to Australia, I went to visit friends there. On the way to Australia, I stopped in San Francisco because it's a long way to Australia. So I stopped to break up the journey so the journey wasn't so long. And I spent a few days in San Francisco. And I wrote down a couple of Americanisms that I thought you'd find interesting because I was very surprised to hear this American use of some words. For example, I love listening to people when I travel speaking on their mobile phones. Because now people speak on their phones in the street.
Don't you mean their cell phones?
Oh, very good. on their cell phones, those móviles, listening on their cells. And one thing I heard a few times, more than once, a few times, where you at? Where you at? Where you at, brother? Where you at, man? Which is, where are you? ¿Dónde estás? And it was very, very common in colloquial American English. Where you at? Have you heard that before?
I have, yeah.
Yeah.
Many times.
Where you at? Another expression when I bought something, your check will be $42. Obviously, check is bill, because American English, you get a check in a restaurant, not a bill. But I found it strange, your check will be. And not your check is.
Oh, no, I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah. Your bill is $42. Your check will be. But then I realise in the UK, we say that'll be.
We say that'll be.
Yeah, I said that'll be £42, sir. That'll be $47.
But we don't say your bill will be.
But we don't say no. We don't say your... And I thought it strange because they're using a future to tell me what it is now. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's another colloquialism for America. Your check will be $42. And another one that made me laugh. Would you like a bag today, sir? And I always thought, well, yeah, I want it today. I don't want it tomorrow. That's no good. Would you like a bag today? They use this word today very often. Mm-hmm. Would you like a bag today, sir? And finally, one more that I liked was, which I found very strange, true that. Which is very colloquial. In fact, it's pronounced more dat, D-A-T. They'll say true dat, meaning that's true. Tienes razón. Eso es verdad. So if you say, I think that steak was very good, true dat, that's tienes razón, that's true. Anyway, a couple of curious things from my trip to America.
I wasn't familiar with that last expression, true dat.
Very common okay. Now. Yeah, and I hadn't heard it before. And I've been to America a couple of times years ago, and that wasn't street language when I was there, but that's come into the language now.
I wonder, are there any of our South American listeners who are not familiar with certain Spanish expressions and vice versa?
I'm sure.
Anyone from Mexico, Bolivia, Ecuador, etc. listening, are you familiar with the Spanish expression mogollón? I don't think you are. I think it's a very Spanish thing to say. How many people were there? ¿Cuánta gente había? Mogollón, tío. Mogollón. That's very Spanish. I don't think South American say?
Do you know what? Do you know
it
what?
A, loads, a lot.
A lot. Yeah. Do you know loads. What a South American would say for that?
Mucha gente.
Yeah. un montón de gente.
Un montón. Maybe mogollón, I think, is a very Spanish colloquial way of saying things. Whereas South Americans have some vocabulary which Spaniards would never use. For example, I remember the first time a friend of mine from Ecuador in Spain told me no, on her mobile, no puedo hablar, estoy maquinando.
Like, maquinando?
I thought, what, you're operating a machine? No. She was driving. In many South American countries, to drive is maquinar.
Yeah.
But never in Spain. In Spain, it's conducir.
Because in South and Central America, car is carro. It's not...
Carro
it's not
o la máquina. It's also máquina.
It's la máquina. It's not coche. It's carro. Yeah. Mi carro.
I think, if I recall, in Cuba, they make a distinction between coche and máquina. I think coches are new fancy ones, and máquinas are the old, beautiful 1950s ones.
The American
They're máquinas, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, as far as I know. So, maquinar and conducir. Spanish differences between South America and Spain.
Interesting matices de la lengua. Moving on to our idiom section, and I have a comment in our idiom section from Rafael. Rafael says, "Hi, every day I find a new podcast, which is to me a reason of joy. I have heard all of them a few times."
I wouldn't say a reason for joy. I would say a reason to be happy.
Sounds
better, doesn't it? Okay.
You must both be two very good teachers of English. You make it easy and fun. Thank you, Rafael.
Thanks.
I like especially those idioms or proverbs, and I realise that each one of them has an equivalent in Spanish.
Generally, yes. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if they always do 100%, but a lot of the time.
For instance, you can't have your cake and eat it too, which Rafael says, teta y sopa no caben en la boca.
Aha, didn't know that.
I hadn't heard that before.
No, but I like it.
Me too.
I get it.
Teta y sopa no caben en la boca.
I get it. Lo pillo. I get it.
Or, no se puede estar en misa y repicando. Repicando. What's repicando? Is that a religious word, isn't
it? I'm not sure. We'll have to look that one up.
Have to check that one.
Repicar. Don't know that word.
Yeah. Another one he quotes, never in a month of Sundays.
Oh, yeah.
Cuando las ranas crían pelo.
Okay.
Cuando las ranas crían pelo. Obviously, frogs don't have hair, so... Yeah. Like when pigs would fly.
Yeah, it's the same.
Yeah. Uh-huh. When frogs grow some hair, he says, yeah. So thank you for your comments, Raphael. And I think that's all we've got time for this episode.
That's about it.
Thank you very much, Reza. We're very happy to be back after our summer break, and we'll be with you in the next episode.
Can I end, Craig, with an imperative?
Go ahead.
Keep listening.
Keep listening. Keep sending your comments. We love to get them. And you can send them by email. Or if you have a microphone, send us a sound file, mensaje de voz en MP3, with a comment or question. And send your comments to craig@inglespodcast.com or to reza@belfastreza@gmail.com. And you can find these addresses on our website at inglespodcast.com. See you next episode.
Bye.
And it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from him.
Goodbye. The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later, and it's licensed by Creative Commons under a by NC license at ccmixter.org.